99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just listened to, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week following the work at the Midnight Ravers, and that will be at 2 o'clock. It is 5 o'clock right here in New York City, and stay tuned for Back of the Book.
Where is it? Good.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Not Guilty My Ass, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about various things on this radio program, and you can find out a little bit more about what we're going to do by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can look around up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. It will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you will be delivered to the web page for this radio program. We do a separate web page for every radio program. We got a lot of web pages up there. And so the WBAI website and archives seem to be working, so that's good. If you ever find that the archives or whatever isn't working, please write to me, rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com, and let me know what's going on, and I'll see if we can get it fixed. And if we can't, I'll post an archive of my own. This is our 32nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. Of course, it's pre-recorded, and we recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if anything's happened between when we record it and when you hear it, we can't reference that, of course. Recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but we live in dangerous times, and we have to do stuff like this. And, of course, starting out with the top news story of the past week, we are holding at 107 followers on Twitter. I'm sure you all saw the headline. Lines on that. And the next public WBAI local station board meeting should be held on Wednesday, March 10th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And, of course, the pandemic is here with us. COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 110,562,484 on Friday, and global deaths reached 2,448,188. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 27,950,547, just short of 28 million, and the death toll in America was 495,015. So 15,066 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. And that death rate is much lower than it had been for the past 6 weeks or so. So that's good. Maybe we're done with the various surges for people doing stupid stuff. Maybe there isn't going to be a stupid bowl surge, because it's been, what, 2 weeks now, and we haven't seen a big surge, so maybe that's not going to be anything from that. We also saw, of course, people had to go see, what was it, some car race somewhere, and they had thousands of people in the stands not wearing masks. That was this past week, and so who knows, we might see a surge out of that thing. Remember, we found that the Mardi Gras last time had been the cause of probably almost 50,000 cases of COVID-19. One event can have a big effect on things. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we've quoted will be higher, and now that they're freed from interference from idiots in the government, the people dealing with health issues in America have been able to say that wearing a mask, and better yet, a double mask, is helping out. Dr. Anthony Fauci was on a radio program yesterday, and he said that the CDC is also seeing many fewer cases of flu and other such diseases for this time, and that a lot of people have been wearing masks. So maybe wearing face masks is going to become a permanent thing, at least during the colder months. And in light of the fact that last year's Mardi Gras was probably responsible for making Louisiana a pandemic hotspot last year, it's very good that this year's Mardi Gras was pretty much canceled, with people decorating their houses instead of gathering large crowds of drunks on narrow streets to watch parade floats go by.
Yes, it's very good that Mardi Gras was limited to people decorating houses or having their houses decorated and just celebrating inside your house with your family. But the thought occurs that, aside from the fact that this whole pandemic should not have happened in the first place due to the carelessness and deliberate secrecy of the Communist Party in China and to the incompetency of the last administration here in the United States, some countries have done remarkably well with keeping the numbers down. Australia and New Zealand come to mind. And what did they do when the pandemic was first declared? They shut down their countries. They closed their borders, but they did it for a specific amount of time, and they really shut things down to the point where today people can go out and be together and have visit their family and do things together. And if they get like 3 cases, which I believed happened a couple of weeks ago, I think it was in New Zealand, they just shut that city down, but they do it for 3 days. They have amazing contact tracing. I mean, they're really serious about it. All things that we certainly could have done here. And might I add, across the border in Canada, they could have done all that stuff too. They did one thing a little bit better. Last March, when things really started getting going, they actually shut down the borders between provinces, and they made sure that people who were traveling were only doing it for work. So that helped to cut down on transmission. But they too, there, largely opened things up before they should have. So here we are today, still everyone wearing masks, having lots of restrictions, because we weren't asked. If we had been asked to do certain things when this began, I mean, we would be in a much better state today. Because throughout history, you've seen in the United States, when people are asked to do something for the good of the country, they have done it. So a big part of it was not being asked and being lied to. And then the whole thing with states' rights, which I understand, you know, the federal government can usurp the states' rights. But still, the majority of people did try and do things anyway, even with all the confusion and the lying. But it's very disheartening to me that so many people have been sick and died who really didn't need to. I mean, we could have done something about it. So that's why, folks, when you're able to, and when the whole vaccination thing is not such a mess, get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. You're doing it for yourself and your loved ones and everyone you encounter out in the world. So that's basically what I wanted to say about that.
Yeah, and Of course, right now, because we've got a monster storm hitting the entire United States, vaccine shipments are stymied. Places are ready to give shots, but they don't have any doses to give out. And so this is an instance of the pandemic being impacted by climate change. So we've got some convergent stuff going on here. Bad things that were done are now coming together to make themselves even worse. And Pickles of the North and I are still hoping to get our dough sometime within the next month. I'm reading that the stimulus package should get passed this coming week. That'll be very good. There are still Republicans saying, no, we shouldn't give people money. The same Republicans who are saying, yeah, let's make it so the big companies and billionaires don't have to pay taxes. Why should they have to pay taxes? And yeah, this is wonderful stuff. Meanwhile, arrests of the January 6th insurrectionists continue. As of a couple of days ago, over 230 of these insurrectionists have been arrested so far, and there will be more to come. It's good that they keep on going after them. Every single person who participated in that attempted insurrection should be arrested, convicted, and they should do serious time for their crimes. One guy, one of the big tough guys, ended up getting arrested at the home of his mommy. He was hiding with mommy. Oh, no, I'm going to overthrow the government. Yes, here I am. I am over. He's putting himself on, you know, some social media in a video. I am liberty, and I am leading this, and we're gonna take... Oh, mommy, hide me, hide me. Anyway, they got him. Like a dozen FBI agents converged on mommy's house and dragged him out. Yeah, it really does need to keep on going on, even if this takes years to get a whole lot of them. Let it take that long. Let them keep on going after them. And, of course, you know, as we say, stuff that happens after we record this, we can't do much with on the program. Well, an instance of that happened last week and for the last program, because Trump, of course, was on trial in the Senate when we were recording last week's program. We knew that there would not be a two-thirds vote in the Senate to convict him. We knew that wasn't going to happen. The final vote happened last Saturday, and the Republicans largely voted to say that what he did was okay. Seven Republicans did vote to find Trump guilty. Some of them have been censured already by their state Republican parties, and Trump is now attacking them and pledging to drive them from office. Mitch McConnell was such a sniveling coward through the whole thing. Votes against it. He could have told people, let's vote for it. He didn't. Trump is trying to drive people from office, and McConnell is there saying, well, okay, he's not guilty. Oh, what he did was terrible and despicable, and he bears responsibility, and you could sue him, but we couldn't do it because he wasn't in office at the time. Well, gee whiz, that's because you wouldn't let the articles of impeachment be presented to the Senate while he was in office. So, hey, Mitch McConnell, that's not cover, that's just showing what a despicable creature you are. Forked tongue indeed. Now he's after you too, Mitch, so have a whole lot of fun, you stupid cowardly creep. He's going to come after you, and I don't care if he gets here or not. I'd prefer to see somebody else, a Democrat, in there anyway. So, goddamn. What a sniveling coward. And the bottom line is Trump should go to prison. I hear people are getting lawsuits ready because he caused damage. People were injured. People can sue over those injuries. If you direct a mob to go someplace and do something and they start a riot and they hurt somebody, yep, you can find yourself in court. I wonder if he's going to try and pull some kind of crap where, oh, you can't take an ex-president to court. That ain't going to work. And in fact, he's still got lawyers trying to prevent New York State from getting his taxes. I have a suspicion that, yeah, the lawsuits will be there and they'll probably be continuing after his death, because I don't think he's going to live that much longer, given his diet and how stupid he is. And I think that after he's dead, everything will come, and his estate, if there's anything left of it. I mean, this guy is probably not a billionaire. he's probably much less. And, hey, speaking of which, aren't there more than $400 million worth of loans coming due for Trump? Oh, that should be something else interesting that'll happen.
Well, he did raise a whole bunch of money, supposedly, to help stop the stealing of the election, and one wonders where that money is going to go. It's like it was like close to $500 million.
So. Oh, I think that that would be a federal crime in and of itself if he used that money to pay off his personal debt.
Indeed.
Because he didn't say, give me money to pay my personal debt.
No.
He said other stuff.
Will the Republican Party allow this money to fall off the table? You know?
Anyway, yes. Speaking of some of the stuff he's done, the Postmaster General needs to be removed. This DeJoy guy is still screwing things up. I personally am still having magazines not arrive. We are not getting all of our mail. We got a notice. Well, we didn't get a notice from our bank that they were changing the rules. And so we've lost money on that because we didn't have enough money in the account. And so it's costing us money. And this DeJoy guy removed the fast sorting machines. And he had those machines destroyed so they cannot be replaced. That shows you something. And this guy needs to be removed from office, and he also should probably be sued or go to prison or something. I mean, it's a very complicated thing with the Postmaster General. Biden can't simply say, you are an incompetent creep, you're fired, get out. He can't do that. They have to have, what is it, the Postal Board take him out. And so Biden is putting people on the Postal Board, and they're going to be able to take him out at some point. But really, something should be doable about this. He's still there. He needs to be not there. He needs to be in jail, too. He and Trump both need to be in prison for quite a while. I mean, the whole thing was that this DeJoy character was taking out fast sorting machines for the purpose of making the mail-in ballots not get where they got to go on time. And they thought, oh, we're going to be really swift. They're doing mail-in ballots. Well, what we'll do about that is we'll make it so the mail doesn't move. So if the mail doesn't move, they can't get it on time. And Trump will win the election. Well, that didn't work out, did it, you idiots? Yeah, the Postmaster General needs to go. And I need to be able to get my mail again. And other stuff. Pickles of the North and I could continue our pandemic lifestyle. Next week, we're going to be rebooting the refrigerator again, aren't we?
We.
I don't know why we suddenly became francophone.
Oui, oui.
No, not here. I mean, go to the bathroom. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh,
Anyway, yes, so we're going to be rebooting our refrigerator, defrosting our frost-free refrigerator again. That's coming up this next week. And right about now, we need to beg you for money. Yes, that's what we need to do. The interim program director has written to all the staff and said, you gotta start pitching. Do a pitch, a real pitching program. And that's what this is going to be. This is going to be somewhat like the old days where we had pitching programs and regular programs. These days, we're mostly supposed to be going on, and every week we're supposed to pitch a bit and hope that works. Well, management now says, we better get people pitching the old way right now. So we're going to pitch the old way. This is, of course, WBAI New York. And we are, of course, listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And as listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, we don't sell advertisement. Nobody's going to try and foist a Hupmobile on you here or anything like that. We're not going to give you a coal commercial right about here. Although we could put in an Olga coal commercial right here. And well, I don't know. We'll see if anybody wants that. But anyway, we've done that in the past. Maybe I'll do that today. We have to raise money. We have to pay bills. And it takes about $120,000 a month to keep BAI just level. That's not getting ahead of things. And believe me, we've got accounts payable that are very seriously large. But without getting into those, we need about 120 grand per month to keep going. So in order to do that, We have to raise the money somehow. And the way we raise it is we ask you for it. Yes, that's right. We ask you to get up. Go to your phone. Dial 1-516-620-3602. That's 1-516-620-3602. And say you want to become a BAI buddy. That's one of the things we're still pitching. We're still pitching BAI buddies. We're asking you to call 1-516-620-3602. And when the people at the call center pick up, that's what you're calling. You're calling the call center. When the people at the call center pick up, tell them, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And they will help you out with that. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership here at BAI. And what happens with that is when you become a BAI buddy, you agree that you are going to donate a certain amount of money every month to WBAI. Now, the amount of money can be $5 a month or $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month. Could be more than that, but I think $5 to $20 is what most of our listeners can probably afford. And you tell them how much you want to contribute every month, and you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or your debit card charged for that amount of money. And they'll do that. They set it up. You give them your numbers and all of that noise, and you get to become a BAI buddy. Now, if you become a BAI buddy, you also get a thrilling WBAI tote bag. They're now calling it a tote/grocery bag since you can't get plastic bags anymore. So they've said, hey, you can also throw your groceries in there. I used to know these as book bags when we were hawking them decades ago. Were we doing these in the 80s and 90s? I think we were. I think we might have had them in the 80s and 90s as well. But we have a current version, and the current version is now a grocery/tote bag. So you want to take all your rutabagas and throw them in a bag. This'll hold it. This'll hold your rutabagas. This'll hold your booze if you want. Go to the liquor store and say, yeah, load up my BAI tote bag with hooch. And they'll do that for you, I'm sure. And yes, 1-516-620-3602 is the number to call. And you call that number and you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Please remember to mention Back of the Book because management is watching this. They're seeing who raises money. You know, it's kind of serious. Yes. And also, of course, if you prefer not to do it that way, if you want to do it another way, you call 1-516-620-3602, same number, and you say, I want to make a donation, a lump sum donation. We're still collecting those. George gave us one of those a while back. And so you can join George. It's possible some other people have donated too, but management is having a hard time telling us who has donated. 1-516-620-3602. That's the number to call. That's the number to call right now and say, yes, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or I want to make a donation, a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. And, you know, we do all sorts of things here. We do science stuff on the air, and we talk about politics and things like that. We are, I must say, going to go through a bit of a change here on this program. We were doing a lot more science stuff in years past. And then a little over 4 years ago, of course, Trump showed up. And we found that we could not talk about what the hell was going on. We always ended the stuff we talked about when we were discussing the Trump administration with saying, remember, the behavior of the Trump administration is not normal. And it's very important to keep that in mind. Yeah, we said that through the whole 4 years. So that changed our radio program because we were talking about what was going on, these tremendous, horrible things that were going on, unprecedented bad government going on. And we couldn't not mention that. It affected us so badly. We would be, if we were trying to ignore that, we'd be sitting here going and having a hard time. So yes, the deal is that Trump has changed our program. Now that he's gone, we are going to go through another transition, we think, and we're going to be doing more science stuff and other issues. There are a whole lot of other issues other than party politics in America and all of that. I mean, obviously, it's not done yet. We had to talk about they put him on trial and then said, oh, yeah, it's obvious that he did all this, but, oh, we have a technicality we can let him off on. Yeah, right. Some of these people used to be prosecutors, and they weren't letting people off on technicalities then. Of course, they weren't going to get something out of them then. They're getting something out of Trump, or else they're frightened of him because they are cowards, political cowards. 1-516-620-3602. We still got a pitch here. We got a pitch. We got to make some dough. If we don't make some money, who knows what's going to happen? We could find ourselves no longer on the air. This has been something that has happened in the past. Not to us necessarily, because we've been able to raise money. But other programs have definitely gone off the air because they couldn't raise money. So that's why we're asking you to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-516-620-3602, and say, yes, you want to become a BAI buddy. And again, it can be for $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, somewhere in there I think most people could handle. So yes, 1-516-620-3602. Please, please call that number. Call that number now and become a BAI buddy or make a one-time donation. We are accepting one-time donations at that same 1-516-620-3602 number. We need to raise dough here. So 1-516-620-3602. Also, what you're doing is showing that there are listeners for this radio program. And not just this radio program, but overnight programs. This is still considered an overnight program. We start at 5, we end at 6. It's sort of much later than we had become used to over the decades, but this is what we're in now. So you can call 1-516-620-3602, and besides donating money to keep WBAI alive, you're also voting. You're voting to say there are listeners to these overnight radio programs, to these programs that are something that's not quite fitting into the categories that management makes up for everything. So 1-516-620-3602, please give us a call at that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's 1-516-620-3602 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or I would like to donate a set amount right now with no future obligations, and I would like to donate to Back of the Book right now, and you name whatever you want to name, any amount of money you want to give, they'll take. And yeah, there's that. Okay. Once again, it's either $5, $10, $15, or $20, or more if you have it. And that would be a monthly obligation, and it would be taken out of your credit card or your debit card. Now, a lot of people, I think, can afford to get $5 a month taken off their credit card or debit card. I mean, how many times have you just, done $5 and something and you looked at it and then you said, the hell with this, and left it off there. And, geez, that happens. So you could do that with BAI and you will, we could do a $5 a month contribution to BAI and you will be able to say, hey, I'm keeping this thing on the air, this strange collection of odd radio programs on the air. And again, you're showing that the overnights have listeners and contributors. Again, one last time for now, 1-516-620-3602. Call them up, say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or you want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. And we thank you for that if you've done it. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. The Earth invasion of Mars continues. Yes, the Earth is invading Mars. Unlike all those science fiction movies from years ago, it's the other way around. We invade them. Yes, last week, the United Arab, more than a week ago now, the United Arab Emirates got their probe named Hope into orbit around Mars. And they'll be tweaking the orbit of that spacecraft over time. And it'll be a large ellipse, and they'll come close, and they'll go far. So they're going to get a lot of pictures of Mars. And this week, in fact, since you're hearing this on Saturday, it's 2 days ago, NASA's Perseverance spacecraft with the Ingenuity helicopter attached to it landed on Mars. Yes, NASA has put another rover on Mars. Oh, boy. And Perseverance landed in Jezero Crater. It's an interesting crater. They looked around for where do they want to go? Where would they like to look for stuff? And what they're doing here, the main mission is there any evidence of past life on Mars? It's generally figured that there's nothing alive on Mars right now, although there is some very slight hope held out by some that underground there are some watery places where some microbes might still live, but they don't have any way to get down that deep. And certainly when they dig into the surface of Mars that they can dig into, there's nothing alive in there. But they looked around, and a really good candidate turned out to be this Jezero Crater. And the reason why they're going there is when you look at it, you can see there's this crater, and you can see something that looks an awful lot like a river delta partially in it. And what they believe happened was this crater happened a long time ago. And so water, which was on Mars back then, it was on the surface, water was flowing, and basically it was like a river or stream that went into that crater. As happens with rivers or streams on Earth, it formed a delta, like you've seen the Mississippi River Delta, very famous delta. And there are other deltas all over the world. And when you look at this, it looks so much like one. It's hard to believe it wasn't done by water flowing. And so what they're saying is, since water is something necessary for life as we know it, then we should look where the water used to be. And they're pretty confident that there used to be water there. In river deltas on the planet Earth, you find a lot of things living there. All sorts of things live in river deltas. You get all sorts of living things in that delta because you've got a mix of land and water, and it's, you know, the amphibians are in there. Now, on Mars, they're not going to find amphibians. I mean, right now, they're looking for fossilized things that used to be alive. They're not going to find amphibians. They're not going to find other advanced life forms because it probably takes too long, and Mars wasn't hospitable to life for long enough for these things to form. In fact, the surface of the Earth seems to have cooled down and become a surface about 4 billion years ago. And we can trace the earliest bits of life we can find to 3.5 billion years ago, but some of it looks like some life may have been much closer to 4 billion years ago. And so you have this. You have this history of life on Earth that started at least 3.5 billion years ago. But you didn't get things like bones and stuff like that until about 550 million years ago. And bones are important because that's what you can easily fossilize and see. The big example is, of course, dinosaurs. You discover dinosaurs by their bones, and they'll have their bones in rocks, and Tyrannosaurus Rex has a thigh bone the size of a small automobile, and you know, hey, that looks like a bone to me. But those are very recent creatures compared to the time of life on Earth. And a lot of the time of life on Earth, life was almost all in water. And of course, there would have been ancient river deltas. There would have been ancient river deltas on Earth where life was. There was also ancient river delta, one particular ancient river delta on Earth that revealed an ancient nuclear reactor. Yeah, the Oklo reactor. It's in Africa. And what happened was the geology of this particular place in the west coast of Africa called Oklo. This place had uranium deposits in it, and it rained, torrential rains, you know, it's the tropics, and the uranium deposits just happened to be somewhere where they could be washed by the rain. And so what happens is the rain comes down, and it's washing over time. This is over a long time. It's washing a lot of uranium into the river, and the river takes it out, and it goes down the river, and it starts to, as happens when a river starts to get to the sea, it slows down because the water spreads out. It's going not as fast, and it can't hold as much dirt as it had. And in this case, the dirt had uranium in it. And what happened was, over time, it's coming out, and it's coming out, and it eventually actually started to have a fission reaction. And it's a very interesting thing, and it was discovered because back in the Cold War, everybody was scrambling to get uranium to make bombs with. And what happens is you get uranium, and uranium is mostly in two different isotopes, two different forms, uranium-238 and uranium-235. The 235 is the stuff that bombs use. 238 is an annoyance. You know, it's also radioactive, but not nearly as radioactive. And so it washed all of this stuff down, and in effect, it selected out the isotopes to some degree. And so you had a nuclear reactor going on, burning away. And so when billions of years later, and this is happening like 3.5 billion years ago or so, billions of years later, the Americans are saying, oh yeah, we want to get this, and they're starting to dig it up. They discover the ratio of U-235 to U-238 is wrong. Everybody knows what the ratio of those two elements are to each other everywhere in the world, pretty much. And here it's way off. It's terribly, it's depleted uranium. And they're saying, uh-oh, are our suppliers ripping us off and selling it to either the Soviet Union, which is bad enough, or some rogue state that wants to make an atomic bomb in their backyard, which is far worse, and which happened. And so they started investigating it, and that's what they found out, was that uranium was being enriched by the river, because it had a lot of time, and it would build up, and you would get this fissile reaction, and it would boil the water for a while, and then it would get washed. It would use up a lot of that uranium, and a lot would get washed away, and then it would continue again. And this cycle continued several times over the course of many, many, many millions of years. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Broadcasting from an antenna atop 4 Times Square, being fed from a studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn, and being pre-recorded in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. We are also streaming live at WBAI.org, and at WBAI.org there are also archives. Anyway, life also shows up in deltas, and of course, it takes a long time for life to get bones and things, but they have been able to see in Ediacaran era deposits. This is pre-Cambrian. You have the Cambrian explosion of life, and in the Cambrian, you got bones and things. Before that, a ways before, in the Ediacaran, you started to get a little bit of that, but not much. Before that, what you have is soft creatures, mostly microbes, but also you had bigger creatures, and they would leave, even they're of soft bodies, they would leave patterns when they died in the water, and mud would form on top of them. And then when you look at them millions or billions of years later, you look, and there's this pattern there. It's just completely, it's a cast. It's a cast of the creature. And a lot of these creatures are, you know, what on earth was this thing? But it's obvious that it was a creature. And with more and more scientific research, they are figuring out these ancient, ancient creatures from that long ago. And so for Mars, they figure if they dig down into this delta, they may be able to find some kind of fossil. Won't be bones, most likely. It won't be shells. It'll be just that kind of imprint of a soft-bodied creature that died and was buried, and you can find it. There are also things you can see called stromatolites. Stromatolites are the remains of what used to be called blue-green algae. They're now called cyanobacteria. These are microbes that get together and they form colonies and they live and they live right at the edge of the water, and they're usually, the tide comes in and out and that nourishes them and keeps them wet, and they get plenty of sunlight and they utilize that. And so we still have these. When I was a kid, I was in upstate New York, and there were fossilized stromatolites up there. And that's one of the main things they're looking for here, because it is probable that because Mars did not have an awful lot of time to develop life, we can pretty much figure nobody had bones. No living thing had bones. There is no reason to believe anything other than one-celled creatures came into existence. That story on the planet Earth is an entire program all by itself. I think we've done that program, but maybe we'll talk about it some other time. But they're looking to see if there's any evidence of fossilized microbes on Mars. And this would allow them to, you know, say, okay, we've got it. And Perseverance is going to be looking for that, but it's also doing drillings and putting what it's drilled, its cores, core samples, into little containers, and it's dropping those around. And there's going to be another space probe sent to Mars in a few more years that's supposed to go there and pick those up and bring them back to Earth, where a big, you know, big laboratories can go after it. Because you can't do a really comprehensive laboratory yet on and still be able to launch the rocket, you know. A really good laboratory weighs way too much. So this is what they're going to do, and this is going to be pretty exciting stuff. They're also going to experiment with the helicopter named Ingenuity. And I don't know, I'm looking at this helicopter, and are the blades adequate? I mean, the air on Mars is extremely thin. Nobody on Earth could breathe that air and live. And that says something, because there are people who live in the Himalayan mountains who are genetically adapted to extremely thin air, which if you and I were suddenly to go from New York City to the Himalayan plateau where these folks live, we would drop dead in a very short while. We would have to have oxygen and everything, and oh, we'd get sick. We'd get terribly sick because there's just not enough oxygen coming in. We would breathe in air, and there'll be oxygen in it, but the air is so thin. And so with this extremely thin air on Mars, it'll be interesting to see how this thing flies. Now, they have tried it in an evacuated chamber where they pumped out the air so that it's approximately about the same density as what you get on Mars. And they say, you know, it goes up and down. So that's something. And I guess it will fly. I mean, it's not like these are idiots doing this. These are very competent engineers. So I guess it's going to fly. But I'm kind of amazed that these rotors, which don't have very big wings on them, are going to be able to grab enough air to lift this thing. Of course, the thing is extremely light, but the deal is, gee whiz, it's going to be interesting to see that happen too. And this is another experiment. This is not going to be looking for life or anything. This is to see if can they do that. And if they can do it in the future, you know, they'll learn from this and see if it crashes or whatever. And they'll learn from this. And in the future, they could send up a chopper that is much more capable and fly places. And, you know, right now they're going to scout ahead for Perseverance with it. if they're lucky. But in the future, they could land a helicopter on Mars, and they could have that go places and look around. Maybe they could have some other kind of aircraft, a fixed-wing aircraft that they could put on Mars and have go a farther distance. So who knows? All sorts of things going on like that. So we're looking forward to what happens next. There's already been a couple of pictures from Mars, and yeah, looks like Mars. We're so used to seeing Mars now. And it looks like Mars, and we'll be seeing what the hell they come up with. And Pickles of the North is going to tell us a little something that she's done for us.
Yes, and you can do it too. You at home, you listening at home can do this too. It's a fun thing to do for all ages, and especially if you have kids. You can send your name to Mars. Now, you can't send it to, on the current mission because it's already there, but you can send it on the mission that's going to go and pick up the samples from Percy.
You're on a nickname basis with the Perseverance rover, is that it?
I think we all are at this point. And we've been doing this for, gosh, I think it might be a couple of decades. It's a fun thing to do. Paul and I do it. Some of our family members have done it. Uncle Sidney, who had a wonderful show at this radio station, he's done it too. So we've all sent our names. They're going around the sun. We've sent them to asteroids, comet, Mars a couple of times, and also to the moon. So, and it's sort of just, it's a fun thing to do. You feel like you're participating in a teeny tiny way with the space program. And I encourage you to go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Just go to NASA's website and they'll tell you how to do it.
And one good thing that's happened in this past fortnight is that the United States of America is back with the Paris Climate Accords. The United States is back with the Paris Climate Accords, and we're going to be a part of that again. That idiot Trump took us out. Turns out the way it worked was we were really only out of it for a short time. He announced it was going to happen, but it apparently, from what I'm reading today, didn't happen for a long while. And we've only been out of the Paris Climate Accords for some months instead of years. And as of yesterday, and for you, yesterday is Friday. As of Friday, we're back in because it took a month. One of the first things Biden did when he became president was say, we're back in to the Paris Accords, because Trump had just taken it out by an executive order. So Biden signed an executive order reversing that.
Good.
And so we're back in. It takes a month to get back in. I don't know why, but it did. So we're back in that. And Biden has made some speeches about how we got to get this going and we need to all work together and make this happen. So we're back in the climate accords. And of course, the climate is continuing to go completely crazy. One wonders if in Texas they still think climate change is not real. The right wing is going to keep saying that they're going to be neck deep in water, and they'll say the sea levels aren't rising. But and Texas can't deal with this. They don't even have coats, and it's usually 60 something degrees, and suddenly it's -2 or something. Oh boy, they're in trouble. And of course, it is climate change. The jet stream has more energy in it than it used to, so it's more convoluted. And a big loop of it looped down and brought all that Arctic air down with it. And owing to the way the Earth is constructed, there are two big parts of it that affect the jet stream. One of them is the Himalayan Plateau, and the other is the Rocky Mountains, because the Rocky Mountains run north to south right where the jet stream has to go. So they interfere with it. And what happens is the jet stream usually has to go north over the Rocky Mountains, and then it dips down after that because you know, things try to balance themselves. And that brings it all down to Texas and environs. So they're really getting nailed in Texas there. You're getting things like people are freezing to death, unfortunately. Carbon monoxide deaths, because people do things like get in the garage, get in the car, start the car and stay there, which is a way of committing suicide. And other people do things like bring their barbecues indoors and they start, you know, setting up the barbecues burning. Well, carbon monoxide comes out of those things. And also, they've got this bizarre situation where their power grid is one company that does not connect to anything else in the United States. This sounds to me like, you know, some kind of thing where guys made deals and this is how it works. Oh, boy. But, you know, we have all sorts of climate issues going on, and some of them are bringing things up that nobody had thought of before. One of them is the purple marsh crab. And in the South, down in Georgia, they are suddenly discovering that the little purple marsh crab can do a lot of damage. The what's happening is the sea levels are rising for the marshes down there on the coast of Georgia. And these little crabs are altering the salt marsh's response to sea level rise by gorging on cord grass. That's a plant that grows there. And it grows at the head of what are called tidal creeks. Because in a salt marsh, the water comes in and it's filled up with water. Sometimes it's inundated. And then the water goes out and it forms little channels. And those are called tidal creeks. And the rising water levels caused by climate change have softened the marsh soil. And this has become optimal burrowing conditions for these crabs. And so these crabs are burrowing as they normally do, and they are chopping up the salt marshes. And these purple crabs are about an inch or so across, and that's, you know, they're tiny. And scientists are saying it's amazing at something as large as an entire marsh landscape visible from Google Earth images is being transformed by this tiny crab that's an inch or two across. And they're saying this crab may be the first identified organism to reach the status of a keystone species, an organism that has disproportionate importance and influence in its ecosystem. And that will be because of climate change. In 2011, it was discovered that these purple marsh crabs were behind a sudden marsh die-off on Cape Cod. And this happened after overfishing had diminished predator populations, such as striped bass, that would eat these crabs. And marsh soils farther south had previously been too hard for the crabs to get a significant claw hold on them. Sea level rise is making the soil softer, and the southern marshes are now submerged up to an hour longer a day than they were in the 1990s. And so this little crab is burrowing in there and reproducing like mad, I suppose, and they're having a great time. They're going through there. The cord grass helps to hold the marsh together, and they're eating it, and therefore it makes the creeks, as they call them, wider. And so so basically something unforeseen, a tiny creature that's 1 or 2 inches across is completely devastating the salt marshes down south. It's beginning. It hasn't really hit the whole thing yet, but it's happening. And this is climate change. You can't predict something like this is going to happen. Who would say, you know, it's going to soften up the soil and this little crab is going to do all this? So this is some of what we're looking at, and Texas is now looking at climate change itself. I'm sure they'll remain in denial. And please, if you could, call 1-516-620-3602 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. You can get a if you become a BAI buddy, you get a WBAI tote bag / grocery bag. And the number is 1-516-620-3602. And tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is a sustaining membership. You can pledge a certain amount of money each month, and it will be taken off your credit card or debit card. And you can pledge to donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month. And you can just do whatever of those you want, and they'll charge your card once a month for that. And you get to tell them what day of the month to charge your card so that it's convenient for you. Again, it could be $5, $10, $15, or $20 a month, and it will really help WBAI. 1-516-620-3602. 1-516-620-3602. Please give us a call at that number. Give us a call at that number now. We really will appreciate it. When you get to the call center, please also remember to say this is in the name of Back of the Book. That's the name of this radio program. That way management gets to know who's able to raise money, because if you don't raise money, you might not be here. And you'll also be saying, yes, these programs, these overnight programs have listeners. 1-516-620-3602. Who else tells you about having a case of the crabs on the air? Yes, Georgia has a case of the crabs, and they're eating their way through Georgia. And oh my, where is the A200 for this? All right, well, on that, I think maybe we've Pickles is giving me a look. maybe we've come to the end of a radio program here, and that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We'll be back here next week. Coming up next is the Ralph Nader Radio Hour, and an hour after that at 7 o'clock this morning, you'll be able to listen to Hour of the Wolf by produced by Jim Freund, and that's a program that's all about science fiction stuff, so stay tuned for that. We'll be back a week from now. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Thanks a great deal if you pledged any amount, and you're either as a BAI buddy or as a lump sum donation, and we're going to go off here. Hey, look at the bad weather from the warm side of the window, and look at all of that, and above all, remember what that glad his marsh soil is hard dormouse said.
This is Savion Glover, and you're listening to WBAI in New York. Enjoy.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, the rebel without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights, 99.5 WBAI.
$0.33 a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that $0.33 a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as $0.33 a day, $10 a month, you can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI buddy. Be one today.
This is Phil Donahue. And you're listening to WBAI New York. 99.